Hey Rock Movers, season two, and we have some amazing guests lined up for you. One today is my friend, the amazing Larice Duffy, and I can't wait to share her story with you. Just, oh my gosh, so many things that this amazing woman has been through, and I just lost her bio. I had it pulled up and then I hit a button. Go figure. That's how this day goes. But Larice, thank you so much for being on with us and sharing your story. And I want to introduce a little bit because I found it. Larice is a life coach with a passion for inspiring and empowering women. She has a Facebook group called Rise, where she conducts several vision board and self-love workshops, and she inspires women with over 2,000 members. So I just want to welcome today my amazing psychology and life coaching friend, Larice Duffy, who is also another IPET graduate.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Karen, for having me. I'm super excited to be here. And well, so glad for the opportunity.
It is a blessing for me to get to share your story with my Rock Moving fans and viewers and friends that get to tune into this, because you just have such a huge rock that you move for other women. And I think it all started based on what I know with the rock that you move for yourself. Yes. So share that with us. Tell us about that first rock.
Sure. So that rock started when I was married to the love of my life, and we had four healthy children, three of whom are triplets. So,
oh gosh,
you know, having healthy triplets was certainly a blessing and something I was very grateful for. And we lived a really nice life. And I had shared with a girlfriend one day all the wonderful things in my life and asked her, wouldn't you think I'd be skipping around the house? Because I'm not. I even had a small business that I ran from home while taking care of the kids. And after we hung up the phone, I really felt like I wasn't practicing gratitude. Like, who wouldn't really be so happy with the life I have? And I'm looking for more. And I dismissed the feeling like it was selfish. And about a year and a half after that, my healthy athletic husband, I have four boys, all of them are boys. He was their basketball coach, their baseball coach, their football coach. It's what we did as a family. We went to, you know, fields, we went to games, we went to church, we went to dinner. And he started having some really odd symptoms. For about 9 months, we were searching for what this was about. I wasn't worried. I thought we got all the scary stuff out of the way. And one day at about 10 o'clock in the morning, we sat at a neurologist specialist office. We were making jokes. We planned to go out to lunch after. And at the end of the exam, he shared with us that he believed Kevin had the beginning stages of ALS. Mm-hmm. And when my husband said, can you share exactly what that means? We knew what the ice bucket challenge was. We didn't know what ALS exactly meant at that time. This was in May of 2015. And his answer was, how much do you want to know? And I've never been so scared in my entire life. He proceeded to share with us how Kevin would decline and that he would probably have about 3 to 5 years to live. And my life, fell apart in that moment. We tried to, you know, regain some strength and some idea of how we were going to move forward with this. We came across how Lyme disease and the symptoms overlap ALS. Mm-hmm. And we found a doctor that believed Kevin was suffering from Lyme disease. We went down that rabbit hole for a good year and a half. During that time, I found out about life coaching. And like you said, I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. I always felt like this was my passion. This was my purpose. And this was the answer. And at the worst time of my life, Karen, and not the worst time, but the busiest time, or probably the worst too. But at that point, we thought Kevin had Lyme disease. Right. So we thought things were under control. But I had four young kids. I was running a business and taking care of a husband, a sick husband, whether it was Lyme disease or ALS. And I decided I was going to go and get my certification to be a life coach. it felt so right for me. And it was the biggest blessing that, you know, really came into my life. It was something that I didn't even realize how much I needed for myself. Right. Probably about March of 2017, after going through IV antibiotics, therapies, diets, you name it, we did it. Kevin started to decline. And I had to ask myself and him if we were searching for answers or if we were running from the truth. And it was at that point that we went and got another opinion in Columbia, Presbyterian, New York. And that doctor, that specialist said to us, "I don't know if you have Lyme disease or not. What I know for sure is that you have ALS." And it was at that moment that I dropped the weight of control and I decided that acceptance was going to be the only way. And it was at that time that we came home and we shared with our sons again, that it was in fact ALS. And no one said a word. I did all the talking and no one said a word. One of the boys, and the only thing said throughout that whole meeting was, "Mom, are you okay?" And I said, "Yes." And I left that room wondering why I was asked that question. I wasn't the person dying.
Yeah.
And what I realized was that they were watching their father decline. They were watching their father decline. They were watching their coach decline. They were watching their hero decline. And they knew and had prepared themselves for losing their dad. What they wanted to make sure of was that they weren't going to lose their mom. And that's where I really reclaimed my power, Karen. That's when I realized I couldn't control, which I tried to do for a very long time, my husband's illness and trying to save his life. But what I could control was how I was going to navigate us through this journey of illness and death. And that's what I did. And, you know, when I tell this story, I really like to add and make it clear that there was a lot of sadness through this time. There was a lot of tears. There was a lot of emptiness and feeling lost. So I never want to paint the picture that I put my cape on and I just, you know, superheroed my way through this. There's a lot of difficulty and a lot of grief and a lot of pain that goes along with illness and with death. And of all the things that I worried about in my life, especially bringing triplets into this world and then a fourth child, never was one of them losing my husband. That was just never a worry that I had or even a thought. And now it was my reality. And I went through the process of feeling the feelings, but I also did it with the principle that each moment describes who you are and gives you the opportunity to decide if that's who you want to be. And I really thought long and hard about that. And I thought about, who do I want to be in this situation? I knew who I was when life was beautiful and easy. Mm-hmm. I was a good mother. I was a good wife. I was a good sister, friend, daughter. Who was I going to be now that life was really super hard? And I decided that I was going to make that a choice of mine. And some days it was going to be sadness. And I was going to have to feel those feelings, that the only way out of the pain was going to be through the pain. And I never wanted to overstay my welcome at a pity party, but I knew I needed to be in the feeling and that if I dismissed it, if I pushed it away, it was only going to come out in other ways. So it was super important to just invite those feelings and understand them. And that was definitely a big part of the process. But as along with that, I also realized that there was an opportunity here to be the example of strength, you know, for my children, and that they were really going to follow my lead in how this was going to go. And I really wanted to be the example of kindness and love and compassion towards my husband and towards my children and towards myself. And something else that I really thought about too was, who do I need to be for my future self? What does she need? And I knew she wanted to live a life with no regret and with peace. So I was really conscious of that. And I really thought about her and thought about, you know, when my husband would wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I was exhausted and say, like, I'm having so much anxiety. Could you just rub my feet? I did it happily. Yeah. Because I wanted to give him everything I could while I could give it.
Right.
And I knew that my future self needed that from me, needed to look back on that time and feel like, listen, it wasn't perfect. I'm not going to, you know, nothing is. But I tried my hardest to do my best for everybody involved and thought about what piece they needed. And like I said, including myself. And that meant some nights going out to dinner with girlfriends and having a glass of wine and just giggling a little bit and letting and leaving it behind.
Yeah.
Because that was the only way I could come fill my cup and come back and give to everybody that needed it during that time.
Okay. I don't want to stop you, but I want to unpack this a little, because as a fellow coach, yes, I'm hearing all of the things that you're saying. And I'm like, number one, she totally gets this. Mm. Number two, holy smoke, she went through all of this with such clarity, and that the coaching came at the right time when the student was ready. Because you listen to that voice telling you you're going to need this.
Yes.
But you didn't just learn the knowledge, you applied the knowledge and had such insight, where I feel like this is the golden nugget of coaching. Mm. And this is the gift of coaching for those that learn the skill and the art, and those that have the gift of being coached and embrace the process. So I want to pause right there in that thought for those that are struggling right now, because there's going to be someone that hears this at an opportune time and they're going through grief or facing a time, an anticipated time of grief, because they're in that illness stage.
Yes. Yes.
And I want them to hear what you did for your boys, for your husband, and for yourself, that you considered, what do I need to do for my future self? I feel like that's this amazing gift of insight that you just shared. And I don't want to gloss over that and run into the rest of our call. Because I think everything we do isn't just for this moment or that person. It's also for the future, for the future of our children, their future of this person that we're interacting with, or our future self.
Yes.
And without that insight and holding that lens up to see what are the consequences, basically what you're saying is, what are the consequences of my choices right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Right. What are the consequences of my choices? And, you know, blaming our circumstances only makes us victims, right? It sort of robs us from our freedom and keeps us stuck. And again, that's not to confuse feeling your feelings and being sad. There is a difference.
Right.
And that's very important. And never would I say to a widow, you know, okay, let's be strong, be positive. No, I would say, I can't change this, but I'm going to sit here and hold your hand, and I'm going to support you. And I'm going to tell you that I'm going to be here for you through this pain. So it's not to confuse, you know, one with the other. They're both needed. They're both necessary, but at different times.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the fact that what you just said, like, you're not negating the pain, you're carrying the pain with that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to carry this alone. You don't have to grieve alone or feel this alone, even though at times we need that space to grieve alone.
Yes, absolutely.
Knowing that someone can come alongside us, a coach, a counselor, a trusted friend or advisor can come alongside us. And help us in those times.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, as women, don't we do this where we don't want to burden others? We want to be there for others, but we don't want to ask them to be there for us.
Yes.
I got this. I'm strong.
Absolutely. Right. And I think that the biggest gift as someone who's going through, whether it's grief or any other big problem in your life, the biggest gift that you can give other people is sharing with them what you need, sharing with them what they can do for you. That is a gift that you give another person, because people are desperate to do something and they can't change the circumstances of your situation, but allowing them to do something for you. And, you know, with that being said, Karen, it's also important to really take a moment to think about, what are those needs? What do you need? You know, what could help just a little bit, whether it's a friend sitting next to you, whether it's a, you know, a bowl of soup, whether it's your house getting cleaned. So, you know, or taking your kids to school that morning, you know, whatever it is, delegating and allowing people to just help you. It's a gift for you and it's a gift for them.
100%. Recently, Texas experienced these horrible storms.
Yes.
And one of the things that I noticed was, you know, people in horrible situations were helping others, which is, you know, that gift of community, that gift of a neighbor.
Yeah.
But I had friends that didn't want to be helped. And, you know, some of that gets into our pride or ego or that perception that we have to be that strong person, especially as a mom, single mom. But my comment, because she's a faith believer, and so I was like, don't take my blessing, because it's a blessing to me to get to help you. Yes. And so when we allow people to help us, you know, we're allowing them to receive that blessing.
Absolutely. If I can, I just want to share a quick little story. Mm-hmm. I had a man call me up when Kevin was diagnosed with ALS for the second time. And he shared with me that he lived in town and he heard about our what was happening in our family, and that he runs a turkey trot, and that they do this 5K and the proceeds go to a family that is going through something, and they would like for us to benefit from this year. This was, I think in 2017, the Thanksgiving of 2017. And I said, okay, you know, as long as there's not another family that needs it more than we do, we would absolutely be very, you know, grateful for such a thing.
Yeah.
I thought that there was going to be this small little 5K that I didn't even go to, that just happened. And then, you know, they helped us out with the proceeds. Well, all of a sudden, all around town, there's these big signs that there's this turkey trot and it's for the Duffy family, and all these people are going, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess we're supposed to go too. So this thing turned into this much bigger thing than I even realized. Right. And I thought to myself in the moment, oh my gosh, maybe I should have said no. Like, I don't, if I knew this was going to be this big thing, I don't know that I would have went through with it. The day came for the turkey trot. There was, I want to say, 600 to 700 people, all from community and surrounding communities. And my children got to witness how much love, how much kindness, how much compassion and support that people are giving to our family. And I thought, wow, had I said no to this, I would have robbed them from all of this, you know, outpouring of love and of them witnessing it. And what a tragedy that would have been. You know, it was amazing for them to see and feel all this love.
Yeah. Yeah. And wow, gosh, what an insight, right? Just because there are people who take advantage of those situations. Mm-hmm. And we never want to be one of those.
Mm-hmm. Who exactly.
Are opportunistic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that struggle of, you know, am I taking advantage or, you know, sometimes no. If you have to ask yourself that, you're not, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right, right.
Also,
yes.
You know, just that opportunity for your kids to feel loved and supported. And this ultimate human need of being seen and heard.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
What a gift.
What a gift.
Well, I just appreciate you so much for being vulnerable and sharing that. But I really want to take it the next step and tell me, how have you used that lesson and that experience of what you went through in your family to help others? Because I know you didn't just let it lie with you. You're paying it forward.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's death has a way of teaching us so much about life, Karen.
That's such a good statement. I'm writing all these notes because you're like giving me all of these amazing nuggets.
I just learned a lot, and I really felt like, you know, I really feel like I carry Kevin along with me. Kevin was my husband. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I sort of carry him along with me in the things that I do, because it's through him that I've learned so much. And it's through the experience of losing him, of having him and of losing him. And I, you know, part of my coaching business has given me the opportunity to really help inspire and empower women, and to really help them, you know, take charge of their circumstance by teaching them to reclaim their power and design their life through choice. And that really, it just lights me up. It really does. I feel like our circumstances don't create our destiny. Our choices do. And our choices always are power. We always get to have our choice. And again, not to be confused with the times that you just need to feel the feelings.
Right.
And, you know, the only way to heal it is feel it, right? I mean, we just have to go through that process. And sometimes it comes up. Kevin died April 2018. And I just about 2 weekends ago was triggered by something. And I had to just excuse myself and go home and just be with myself and be with my feelings and understand and sort of untangle what was happening. I don't know that there's a finish line for that. You know, I don't know that there's an end point for that. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. But in the meantime, when we are feeling, you know, when we are not going through something like that, it's important that, you know, we really not get stuck in the why something happened, that we get really thoughtful about the what's next, right? The why sort of keeps us stuck, right? And in our circumstance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really love to empower and teach women to get out of their why and get into their what's next, get into their power, get into what they do have control over, and really creating a beautiful internal foundation that sort of changes our external world, transforms our external world. Sometimes I feel like, and for myself included, before Kevin was sick, I felt like I really chased so many things outside of myself that if everything outside of me was okay, then everything inside of me would be okay. And what I've learned is
that. Oh my gosh, that is so, I can totally relate to that. So I know women are going, yeah.
Right. And what I'm trying to teach women is, let's create this really great internal foundation, this beautiful internal home where we get that peaceful and joyful. We get that right. And then our external world transforms. Then it doesn't matter as much. What matters is, it's like from the inside out rather than from the outside in. And I think I had always gotten that really mixed up. Mm-hmm. And Kevin's death and going through all the lessons through his illness and through his death and the coaching, you know, certainly it's been a recipe of many things,
right,
has really taught me that it's important to really build that foundation within, to really think about my thoughts, to really, you know, understand that it's a practice of progress, progress and not perfection, and to be kind to myself, yeah, and to really, you know, not have all that judgment within myself. Because that's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. If you find yourself judging a lot outside of you, mm-hmm, you're judging a lot inside of you. Right. Our external world is a reflection of our internal world, not the other way around.
Yes. And when things are making us angry, mm-hmm, there's something going on inside, mm-hmm, that is, I hate to use the word trigger, but it's, mm-hmm, like tripping, or it's bringing to life that spark of something we're dealing with internally. It's so true.
Absolutely. And again, we project outside of ourselves instead of asking ourselves, what needs to be healed here? What wound needs to be healed that trigger just caused? You know, yes, let me look inside of myself instead of always casting blame and anger and frustration outside of ourselves.
Right.
We just go inward. All the answers are there.
Yeah, 100%. And when we pause and do that, just ask ourselves, why am I feeling this? Why am I reacting this way? What is going on that this is bringing up, or what is internally inside of me that this is bringing up?
Yes.
It's almost always tagged to an event, a difficult event or painful event or memory.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And rather, yes, than compartmentalize it, we can, you know, begin to, in our adult days, face it, right? Yeah. And that's, yeah, where coaching is so, so powerful.
Oh, absolutely. I always
say, you don't have to do it alone.
You don't have to do it alone. And it helps you to untangle things that have gotten so tangled that you're not even sure where the beginning, you know, it's like, I always think about when, you know, Christmas and you take those lights down and they're all tangled up and you don't even know where to start, you know, and it just feels frustrating. And you're just like, sometimes you just throw them away and you're like, I'm just going to start over. We can't do that with our feelings. Yeah. Right. So we have to just start piece by piece. And sometimes what we think, like, we're so focused on the details of problems that we don't get to the root of the problem. And so we just dance around and chase after all these details. And when we just understand the root, the details sort of melt away. And a coach can really help you get to the root of the problem and hear things that aren't necessarily being said.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the gift of coaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
The unspoken, yeah, things. So tell me about your group and what you do. Cause I think that this is the next, you know, we talk about the rocks in our life and then, mm-hmm, how we're moving rocks for others,
yes,
in my Rock Movers, podcast, and then how we're changing those to stepping stones.
Oh, I love that.
So you've identified these rocks,
yes,
that we have as humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just how do you change those to stepping stones for your clients? I don't want to tell you, I don't want to lead you. I want to hear what you do because I feel like you have such an insight and gift here.
So I think, you know, I think one thing that I like to do with my clients certainly is really start to take a look at how worthy they're feeling and what their relationship is with themselves, because our relationship with ourselves is the standard to which we, you know, have with relationships that come into our life or outside of ourselves. It's really important to create a beautiful relationship with you. I mean, there's times that I do things at night and I think, oh, I'm tired. I don't feel like doing this. And I say, well, you know, my future self will probably thank my past self, you know, and really feel gratitude that you did that for her. So it's almost like sometimes I remove myself as being me and I think of my future self as a different person, because for a friend or a family member, I would certainly go do the thing, right? If it was needed.
Yes. We'll do that for others, but we won't do it for ourselves.
Right. Absolutely. So so that's kind of the beginning. And then I really like to talk about how, and I learned this from Brooke Castillo, which is she has a podcast, The Life Coach.
Right. Yeah, I love that.
And she talks about how our circumstances are neutral until we attach a thought to them. And once we attach a thought to a circumstance, it creates a feeling, right? A vibration through our body. Mm-hmm. And that vibration will create an action or an inaction, which will create a result. Okay. So essentially, our thoughts create our results. So yeah. Understanding that we have so much power over our thoughts, and how important it is to really kind of command those thoughts and really do things. Sometimes it might be needing to just disrupt the pattern of a bad thought or a negative thought. You know, dancing, moving your body, going for a walk, reconnecting with nature, raising your vibration, right? And again, I will say this is not to confuse. I'm feeling sad. I don't want to deal with my feelings, you know, so I'm just going to go do something else and ignore them.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying at all. But when we're just feeling off, when we're just feeling like we're in a little funk, just really being mindful of the thoughts that we're having and then disrupting the pattern with some kind of movement or something that's going to raise our vibration. I was listening to a podcast just recently, and I wish I could say who said it because I thought it was magnificent and powerful, and I don't remember his name. But he said we are vibrational beings, and we cannot have what we aren't willing to become vibrationally. And I thought, oh, we cannot have what we aren't willing to become vibrationally. And I thought that's really powerful. And I actually just did a live about, you know, the things that we can do to raise our vibration.
Yeah.
So, you know, so helping clients use tools, you know, those are just a few. Amongst really asking powerful questions that really help to untangle what the challenge is, you know, what the root is, and how we can, you know, and then teaming up and partnering to come up with solutions to move forward.
So good. So good. Well, how can people, if they're just like, oh my gosh, I need to talk with Louise because she is absolutely just reading my mail and in my head, and I know that she can help me.
Yeah. Well, to you. I'm on Instagram, amindfuljourney.ld. I'm on Facebook. A Mindful Journey is my page, A Mindful Journey. And I have a group, Rise, all capital letters. I have a program coming up, The Journey, A Path to Your Personal Power. And, you know, I see clients one-on-one, of course. So yeah, those are the ways. I mean, my email is amindfuljourney.ld@gmail.com. Awesome. So those are definitely, you can DM me, you can send me an email.
Well, we'll post all of those links for people to be able to click over super easy and connect. But if they wanted to join, if someone, a woman wanted to join your Rise group, are you still taking new members?
Oh, absolutely. That's an open Facebook group. You answer three questions and you're approved. And that is a wonderful community of inspiring and empowering women, really supportive and really beautiful. It really is a beautiful place. So yes, I would definitely welcome anyone interested, any woman interested. It is all women to join Rise.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. You do an amazing job of managing it and moderating it, and just everyone's very interactive, which I love.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen. Great
job. You are just out there moving rocks for so many women, and such a blessing to me. And I know so many of my rock movers will love hearing it. I think that as women, we should support each other. So that's why I'm doing this podcast. But then also as coaches, there's someone out there that needs to hear my voice and someone out there that needs to hear your voice.
Yes.
All of the coaches' voices. There's too many people out there for us to not encourage and support and share with each other. So I just want to be really, really generous with my resources, my time, my opportunities, and say, you know, if you are hearing this message and you feel like you've really connected to Larice, please, please, please reach out. Mm-hmm. This amazing woman is the real deal and can absolutely speak life into you and support you. So thank you for doing that for us today and for doing that for me in the group, because I am in the group and I am, I'm not just an actor. I don't play this on TV. I'm in the group and am being blessed by what she's done. And, which is why she's on this podcast, because I knew she would bring y'all value. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for this podcast. I mean, I think there's nothing more beautiful than helping women, you know, move their rocks, right? And really, move forward. It's so powerful.
So we're going to end this on a fun, upbeat note. You ready?
Yes.
I have one question for you that I did not prepare you for. So you
can
go ahead. But if you could be any kind of comic book character or cartoon character, who would you be and why? Mm. I had this question asked of me in a podcast. I'm like, oh, that's so juicy. Ooh. I love it.
Cartoon character.
Or superhero.
Or what?
Or a superhero, or like a kids movie character. You have kids, so
older now, but. Yeah. You know, I don't know, this might be so predictable, but I think I have to say Wonder Woman. I love the cape.
That person. Wonder Woman. Oh,
thank you. I have to say, I feel like, you know, it's so interesting because I just posted on my story a picture of what I think is Wonder Woman. And it says, and then I just got up one more time. And through this journey, sometimes that felt very appropriate, that sometimes you just had to make that decision that you were going to get up one more time, because there were plenty of times that that I was pushed down, but you just have to decide, you have to choose to get up one more time. So I think I'll stick with her.
You are the epitome of Wonder Woman. And thank you for dodging those, the bullets. Yes. and for getting up one more time to just be that light for the world around you, that we all need that so much. Thank you, Karen. Thank you. And we will definitely put ways that you can connect with Larice, and be sure and follow our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we have way more stories and ways that you can connect with this amazing woman. So thank you. And you guys make it a fabulous week.